Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey, folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. I am Steve Azar. Always grateful you guys are tuning in on Super Talk Mississippi. Very, 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 very humbled. All the great compliments I get when I'm out on the road in elevators and grocery stores means the world. I can tell you that fresh off the plate, if you're going to think catfish, it's Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Farm-raised, U.S. farm-raised right here in Mississippi. Come on. And visit Mississippi.org, celebrating the arts, celebrating our golf, like Dancing Rabbit. So many incredible golf courses around our state, celebrating our wildlife. You name it, it's there. Plan a road trip. All right. Today I have on with me a lady with golf, tennis, and sports wisdom. She's a nationally known sports radio and television personality, talk show host, journalist, author, and television producer, all in sports media. An original member of the Golf Channel family, she was the first woman to host a call-in sports show on WFAN in New York, where she hosted a sports talk show, this show, for 20 years and continues as the station's golf and tennis correspondent, covering little bitty events like the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship. There's nothing little about it. In 2001, she was the first woman in sports media honored with the Association for Women in Communications Headliner Award, previously given Barbara Walters and Katherine Graham. In 2012, she was named one of the top women in sports media by the Los Angeles Daily News, and that same year was honored with the Debbie Gibson Girls Humanitarian Award, because the lady loves to give back. And she does that everywhere around the country when she can find time. She does it here in the Mississippi Delta when we can get her here. And we're always grateful that when she can. Her new book, author, Life on the Green, I have been really waiting for. I've been hearing about this for quite a while. It's out and scorching hot off the press. Now let's get to it with Ann Liguori. Hey, Ann, the author.
You know, happy days, Mississippi. Glad to join you all. Ann, I love her state.
She loves our state. She's been skipping out on us for the BMW for a number of years, but that's okay. I'm throwing
Don't
you
hate
under
me.
The bus. hey, next year, you know, I already know that we're going to have to move ours off of that date for 1 year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not telling you yet, but I'm telling you. So,
All right. So give me the dates, baby. It's in my book.
I love it.
Can't wait.
It'll be
miss you. I really do. I miss being there. I miss the lovely hospitality of, you know, everybody who comes to your tournament, and it's, you have an incredible event, and it's been too long. So Scott and I will be there next year. How's that?
We do miss you guys. I can tell you that. There is a tremendous void when you guys, you know, there's a group of us that love to be together around the country at these events. And when one of us is missing, except for me, I'm sure you guys are throwing an extra party when I'm gone. But when the rest of you guys are missing, you know, we're sad a little bit. You know,
you're sweet, because I think you and I originally met at a charity golf event, Duke University.
Yeah.
Remember the Duke Children's Hospital benefit?
Yeah.
And I loved meeting you there, and you were the life of the party, and you were just so gracious and so friendly, and we hit it off like brother and sister from the very beginning.
We have been.
And I just feel like you're part of the family.
I am. I'm part of the, you guys all hear that. It was the life of the party. I want everybody to know that. I like hearing that. All right, Ann, we've got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to cover, and I'm so happy that you finally did this. You've been talking about it for a while. Book-wise, author-wise, how many in your arsenal so far?
So this is my second book. My first book, A Passion for Golf, Celebrity Musings About the Game, came out in its second printing back in 2007. Mm. And I've been, you know, really wanting to do another book for a very long time. The publishing world has changed quite a bit since that first book came out. And Haverly Press came to me and said, we'd like you to do a golf book. I originally thought I would do a book on all these sports legends that I interviewed when I was in my 20s and they were older, like, you know, Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and Hank Aaron and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West and Billie Jean King and, you know, that archives, that treasure chest of sports legends in my, you know, library, that show that I did for 17 years. But when Haverly Press asked me to do a golf book, I was equally, you know, delighted. So I decided I'm going to pick 12 legends in golf, six men, six women, and really talk about what they bring from their iconic golf careers to life. So it's really all about life wisdom and great stories. And I meant it to be very uplifting and inspirational, Steve. You know, our world is too divisive. Our sport in golf is very divisive right now. And I just really wanted to write an uplifting, positive, inspirational book. And I'm very proud because I think these 12 legends brought it. They brought so much wisdom and so much positive energy to this book. They all really wanted to be in it. And I'm honored that they were so gracious and generous with their
and
time.
Five of them are master champions, obviously all male.
Yes.
I know that.
Yes.
You know, now that they're having the women's amateur right there.
Right. I'll be there for it.
You covered that every since this began,
every
right?
Every year since the beginning. Yeah.
Before we talk about the book, can we talk about how that feels to you as watching the game evolve and finally give women in sports, especially amateurs, in the name of Bobby Jones, right? He was that, you know, lifelong amateur, right? I mean, how has that sort of been working and has it been a long time coming for you?
It is so exciting to be there to watch the top women amateurs in the world competing at Augusta National on the final day. They played two rounds on another course leading up to Saturday's championship at the Augusta National Golf Club. They get a practice round on Friday. Whether they get into the championship round or not, they all have an opportunity to play Augusta National on Friday. And, you know, I mean, the opportunities and the recognition that these amateurs are getting has so boosted the game. When you go on a Saturday and Sunday to Augusta National, it is packed with young people, particularly families and young girls. This women's AM has had such an incredible impact on girls all over the world. They're so inspired. And so consequently, you're seeing a surge with young people playing the game and particularly young girls playing the game. They're so inspired by this women's AM. So for me, who started my sports broadcasting career in the early 80s, when it was really difficult, if not impossible, for a woman to get any kind of job in the world of sports media. Mm-hmm. To see how we've progressed, not only in sports broadcasting, but all of sports media and in sports, you know, for girls and for women is just so incredible. I'm just so pleased to see the progress since I started. And the people today will say, oh yeah, there's so much more progress we need to make. Absolutely. But because I've been around so long and I've been a part of the scene for so long, I knew what it was really like back in the day. And certainly before me, it was even, you know, probably even more difficult for women, right? There were people way before me, female athletes and female broadcasters and sports writers, right? But for me to see how far we've come in, say, three decades is just phenomenal.
I only remember, to be honest with you, you and Leslie Visser. So as far as names and face recognition and voice recognition, I just remember you guys early on for a lot of years. There just wasn't many of you.
There weren't many of us. I remember starting my career right out of college in 1982 in New York City. And I was able to get a freelance position at CBS Sports. And soon after, Phyllis George, who was Miss America at the time, she hosted the NFL Today Show. Do you remember those days? I mean, that was a long time ago.
I do remember.
But Phyllis George was on the air, but she didn't have a sports background, but she actually kind of embraced the on-air role. And funny, during Super Bowl Sunday, CBS did a special on the early days of the NFL Today show and really focused on Phyllis George and Jane Kennedy.
Right.
And so, yes, there were women, you know, before Leslie Visser and myself, for sure. I remember
there were
journalists for the Times and other newspapers who were covering sports. But, you know, there's not a great record of these women who were way before us in the 40s and 50s and 60s. There were a few from what I've read through the years. But unfortunately, the history and the records aren't really out there to really educate us on who they were and what they were doing. But we know that some of them were there.
You guys were falling through the cracks, the really good ones. And for some reason, in country music, there was a lot of male artists, and then now the women have broken through. There's so many. It's interesting because I get a charge out of watching a female artist who's great. Singer-songwriter, every bit as moving to me as hearing a guy, sing and play. Sure. So, but anyway, let's take a quick break. We hadn't even gotten to the book. Her book is Life on the Green. Folks, it's features compelling interviews that includes 5 Masters champions, but has 12 incredible golf legends. My pal, Ann Liguori, the book is hot. It's not hot. It's screaming hot off the press right now. It's available where you get your books. Before we go, where you get your catfish? Superior Catfish. Where would you get it from anywhere else? Right there in Macon, Mississippi. Produced here in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com. And I've always been blessed to get to say the words visitmississippi.org. As a music and culture ambassador, I can't tell you what I know that means. So check it out. Plan a road trip. I'll be right back with Ann Liguori.
The One Buck.
I got my pal Ann Liguori on the phone right now. I called her Anna in the intro. I may edit that out. I may not. I could call her Anna. I call Gwen Gwenny. So I like it. It's what happens. I get called.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
That's pretty good. Speaking of dinner, there's Superior Catfish. Let me throw a little plug into my team. If you're going to have catfish, go to superiorcatfish.com. Produced right here in Mississippi. And my dear friends at visitmississippi.org, take a ride on the Freedom Trail. Check it out, the Writer's Trail. And speaking of writers, my guest today, Ann Liguori's new book, Life on the Green. It is a big, beautiful white book, and the letters are just popping out at me. And the author is Ann Liguori. I'm so proud of her. It's been a long time coming. She's probably got a bunch of books before it's all over with. She's got more interviews with more incredible, storied folks in sports who have done incredible things and had to do it with so much adversity. And so she's gotten to understand all that. And, greatness comes from adversity. So I can't wait to dig into this book. But, okay, Ann, let's go. Life on the Green, when you found out they wanted you to do a golf book, did it hit you or did it take you a minute to be able to go, this is it?
Well, interesting. Great question. I think it just took me a little bit of time, not too much time, though, because, golf is a microcosm of society and of life, right? Golf mirrors life. And we all know that who play. And I didn't want to just write a golf book. I really wanted to write a book that would positively impact all of us, men, women, young and old, and all these legends share their wisdom that is just so universal. They're universal themes. For instance, Jack Nicklaus, obviously Jack, winner of 18 major titles. He talks about putting family first and integrity is paramount and sportsmanship. Jack, boy, he told stories where, family is so important to him. And, he said, his golf career and his success is all because he made a couple of 4-foot putts. I love that. But he believed that being a father, Steve, came ahead of chasing a trophy. And those weren't just words to Jack. He put that in action. On a Saturday, he'd play the third round at a tournament wherever he was. And he'd fly back to Florida to play, to watch his son playing a football or baseball game. And then he'd fly back to where the tournament was on a Sunday morning to finish the final round, and many of those tournaments he won. So he somehow managed to fit it all in. He has 5 children, 22 grandchildren, 3 great grandchildren. And he talks a lot about his success story in the book and all about, you know, some of the great rivalries in his career and some of his greatest wins. But every chapter is named after a specific theme that really stood out in my interviews with all these legends. And in Jack Nicklaus's chapter, it's really about putting family first and maintaining integrity and sportsmanship. And who better than Jack Nicklaus to really talk about that?
I see Jack as one of those guys who just looks like he was a great athlete. You know, when you think about these, the great ones that have come along, do you feel like, besides their charisma, Arnie and Nancy Lopez, and you're around them and you feel this sense of the it factor, and they light up the screen like Tiger, you know, it's just all of a sudden you're drawn into them. And it doesn't matter if you like the sport or not, if you, what demographic you come from, what age group, there's something about them that's worldly. And our business is Willie Nelson. When Willie Nelson came out in the day, when my dad took me, you know, he goes, here's Willie Nelson, let me hear the Stardust record. I loved it like he did, you know. And you go to Willie Nelson concerts, there's generations of folks. And then you go, now there's Chris Stapleton doing the same thing. The people come along and they just break the walls down of what, you know, like, it's just, everybody loves it. Everybody loves them. So right. Jack, to you, with the time you've spent with him, do you feel like athletically, let me get back to this point, he was sort of extremely special?
Well, yeah, I think all the legends in the book, all these Hall of Famers were born to be champions. I mean, they had to put in the work ethic and the preparation, and Dottie Pepper talks a lot about that in her chapter. But yeah, I mean, I think they all had a natural gift, and they were able to take that natural gift and turn it into a legendary career. You know, Nancy Lopez, who was really the face of the LPGA in the 70s, along with Jan Stevenson. Nancy said she excelled in a number of sports when she was a kid. She played a variety of sports and she was really good at all of them. But her father stressed that in order to become a champion, you really need to focus at a certain age. And he suggested she focus on golf, and she agreed. And then it was just her dad coaching her entire career, not pushing her at all, but coaching her and having fun with it. And Nancy was naturally gifted at a very early age. Nancy, you know, was winning Rookie of the Year honors and winning tournaments right and left of her first year out. So yes, Jack Nicklaus, Nancy Lopez, Jan Stevenson, Bernard Longer, all these personalities. Gary Player started winning really quickly when he turned pro. They all had a natural gift, but they had the work ethic and the mindset to take their natural talents to the top. And that's so important, because a lot of people might have the ability, Steve, and the talent, but they might not have the mindset. And you know, golf is what, 80% mental? You really, and all these things they talk about in the book, you know, preparation, says Dottie Pepper, and Amy Alcott, be the captain of your own ship, which I love. We can get into that chapter more in a second. Tom Watson, learn from the best. Tom Watson used to sit on the range behind Arnold Palmer and just watch him swing. He studied everything there was to study about Arnold Palmer. That's how he learned. And his message in Tom Watson's chapter is learn from the best. Pick your mentors and make sure they're the best. And I just love that message, because he had the opportunity to sit behind Arnold Palmer and to watch him work. And when he was 15 years old, he won a competition in Kansas City that enabled him to play with Arnie the next year.
Wow.
And he shot the same score as Arnie, and he was only 15, on the front nine, and thought, wow, look at me, I'm keeping up with the great Arnold Palmer. But then on the back nine, Arnie just torched him.
Yeah.
And it taught him a lot of lessons. It taught him humility, and that's part of his theme of Tom Watson's chapter as well, stay humble. But he said he sat there and watched and learned everything he could from Arnold Palmer and everything he could from Jack Nicklaus, who turned out to be his biggest rival in his career, but they maintained their friendship, which is quite interesting how they could be so competitive and such rivals in golf history, yet be such dear friends. And then Byron Nelson. So Tom Watson talks about learning from Arnie, Jack Nicklaus, and Byron Nelson. And the stories in that chapter are incredible.
You know, I'm saying, I wanted to interrupt you a minute ago. I'm thinking of all the swings not to emulate. To me, Arnie had his own thing. He was like, it was like he was out there just whatever it took, I'm going to do it. You know, he had this unorthodox swing, you know, and he was like butchering the ball, like he was on a mission. So Tom Watson's swing is so fluid and beautiful. So I wonder what he took from that, because their swings are nothing alike.
Right, right. And it wasn't about the technique as far as, you know, Arnie is concerned, but it was about watching him go about his prep and, you know, how did he practice and what clubs did he use and how he interacted with people and signed autographs for everybody and was always smiling. And so there's so many things that, you know, that's what he studied from all these greats. And then he just, you know, and then he did his own thing, obviously. And, you know, be the captain of your own ship, be an original, right? Which all these personalities are.
They did
learn from the best.
You're not going to be in this book if some point you didn't learn what you needed to learn, but become yourself. I can promise you that. Same in the music business, same in anything in sports or life or whatever. At some point, you have to absorb all of these influences and really pay attention and take mental notes. But then you have to find yourself. And that's when great things happen. We're with my pal, Ann Liguori. Her new book, Are You Kidding Me? Life on the Green, is out. It's out everywhere. Life on the Green. Anyway, very compelling interviews. It's got 5 master champions, 7 other big times champions. So there's 12. I'm going to find out if each one has a chapter. I don't know yet.
They each have a chapter.
Oh,
absolutely.
We know.
They each have their own chapter.
We do know that Superior Catfish Ann is made in Macon, Mississippi. So, folks, go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. As you head into the weekend, just get yourself ready. Plan a road trip. Be proud of our Mississippi. We'll be right back with author, the legendary Ann Liguori. $20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program, and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Rolling into the third segment, day one of Ann Liguori's debut of her second book, author, Life on the Green, features compelling interviews with 12 incredible legends of golf, including 5 Masters champions. So many incredible stories that she has got a first row seat. And next to her, I mean, first row seat's not even the word. They're with her. They're next to her. And she's had the best time interviewing all of these incredible legends of sports. She does have a vault full of very precious interviews over her lifespan. And now I thought the book was going to be one thing, but now you're going to have to write 40 books. Before you write 40 books, you're going to need some nutrition. I want you to think about Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com, folks. Please, made in Mississippi. They're not going to make it in New York, where Ann's from, but they make great stuff there. Like, I'm going to get my pizza there, all my Italian food. I'm going there. And speaking of anything musical or anything that you want to be proud of, check out visitmississippi.org. Okay, Ann, I want to read something real quick, if I can do this without stumbling. All right. While my great friend Ann Liguori could certainly master any facet of the business, and she has, There is no clearer example of her massive abilities than to take in one of her countless high-level interviews. Her reservoir of superstar guests through the years would make Jimmy Kimmel envious. You are about to embark on a journey that will inform and enlighten you. You will go behind the scenes with Anne as your tour guide. I promise it will be filled with kindness yet determination. I love that. It will be dogged yet diplomatic. It will be storytelling at its best, unfiltered and fresh. It will be told by an exquisite interviewer who, in concert with our heroes, I love that. Love that. Will entertain you page after page. You will be inspired by the life lessons and the greatest names in golf share. Wisdom that we all can embrace for a lifetime of success and happiness. Jim Nantz, CBS Sports. When you see that Ford, that is a lot in a paragraph. And I see you. I see you.
Yeah, I have to say, it makes me a teary-eyed because he was so gracious. And if you read the Ford in the book, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 pages long. What you read was a short synopsis of that, but my goodness, Jim Nantz, the masterful storyteller and sports commentator for CBS Sports, you know, one of the biggest sports personalities on the planet, a legend himself, somebody I have admired for decades. For him to write that forward is just heartwarming to me, and I'll never forget it. I'm just speechless.
I love the TV commercial in March Madness because I'm missing his voice. You know, it's been a long time. And I love that, you know, he's sitting there and they're going, he needs to get a hobby, you know, Barkley. And, you know, they're on there and I'm cracking up and then he's painting. I just think that, you know, I love how he's been able to, I know he misses it probably, but at the same time can put a big smile on it. And man, the joy his voice has given us over time is ridiculous. All right. I want to talk about Tom Watson real quick. I feel like the greatest moment in sports is still Miracle. We've gotten to know Rizzioni and a lot of the guys from the Miracle on Ice in 1980 because of the times and the circumstances and the impossibility of kids from college beating these pro Russian athletes who hadn't lost in a zillion, you know what I mean? They'd killed everybody for many years. And when Tom Watson makes it to the 72nd hole at the British Open, and I felt like he hit that great iron in there, he hit it too good of an iron, right? Gets a big hop. Goes to the back of green. He doesn't get up and down, and he has to go into sudden death and loses to Stuart Sink. I felt like in my body that was going to be the greatest sports moment since Miracle. Well, I don't know if I was going to be able to say it was the greatest, but for him to be his age, over 50, we hadn't seen it yet, right? Did he talk about that with you? Did you get to catch up about that? And, and tell me about the Tom Watson interview.
Well, yeah, he was 59 years old at the time. We're talking about the 2009 Open Championship.
And, 59. Yeah, not 50. Yeah, 59. Right.
59 years old. And wow. He loses to Stuart Sink. It goes to a four-hole playoff. And Stuart won, you know, decisively in that playoff. But, you know, Tom was put it all into perspective. He actually told me that after, you know, that last final round, he told writers, hey, this is not a funeral, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, he handled it beautifully. He really did. And he has played and won at Turnberry so many times. You know, he knows the wind direction. He knows, you know, the elements. And he really wasn't a huge fan of Lynx golf when he first started out, even though he was winning before he was a huge fan of Lynx golf, right? But, you know, the other thing that really impressed me about Tom Watson is, you know, he captained the Ryder Cup. In 2014, I was there, Steve, Peltic Manor. And, you know, the Americans lost to the European team. And at the end of the Ryder Cup, they in the press conference, you had the American team on the left, you had the European team on the right. And I'll never forget this. My mouth just dropped, my jaw dropped when Phil Mickelson basically threw Captain Tom Watson under the bus, saying that Paul Azinger's pod strategy in the previous Ryder Cup worked so much better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't really use enough input from the players. And you know how Phil picks his moments, right? The worst time to come up with this kind of criticism. It should have been all about the European team's victory. And, you know, Tom just handled that beautifully as well. He was very diplomatic. He didn't say much, you know, he just kind of smiled. And it could have become like even a more controversial than it did back then. But years later, he said that Amy Mickelson sent him a note and Phil, you know, finally sent him a note and they apologized for that comment. And he basically just said, hey, that's ancient history. Let's move on. And he completely forgave them. But that was a very poignant moment, you know, in front of the world at a time when the European team really should have been the focus. And I thought Tom Watson handled that beautifully.
Which says a lot about his character, period, right? It's been consistent over time, right? Over his body of work.
Right. And because he also captained the 93 Ryder Cup at the Belfry. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's it like for these players? And, you know, he played in these Ryder Cups. It's the most pressurized moment, one of the most in sport, the most pressurized experience that I think any golfer could really experience, the Ryder Cup. And I've covered every Ryder Cup since Brookline back in the late 90s. And so I see how nervous these players are, because they're not playing for themselves. They're playing for each other. They're playing for their country in front of a massive global audience, right? And I said, you know, how do the players deal with this pressure? And he was very honest. He said, Ann, pressure sometimes is beyond the abilities of the players to be able to deal with it. And yeah, a lot of them cave into that pressure. These are champion golfers, some of the greatest players in history. And yet a Ryder Cup, the pressure that you might feel at the Ryder Cup is very, very tough. And I said, well, what did you do? How did you try to deal with this pressure? And what did, you know, the speeches that you give to these players are always so important. And he said he relied on humor just to keep everybody loose. And, you know, players today will tell you to play in the moment, stay in the present. And that is just so hard to do. But that's the advice he shared with his Ryder Cup team. And he also said, listen, I never learned anything from victory. I only learned from defeat. So he has a way of turning things, making everything a positive, whether it's a win or a loss or a triumph or a failure. And, you know, Nancy Lopez, her chapter's on staying positive. And
all right, I want to talk about staying. I want to spend time on Nancy.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break because I wanted to go there next. So we're reading each other's mind. My pal, Ann Liguori, the book is out, folks. Life on the Green features compelling interviews with 12 historic golf legends, including 5 Masters champions. My pal, Ann Liguori does it better than anybody. She's not Eva Longoria. It's Ann Liguori. Speaking of anything that you get confused about, one thing you can't get confused about is Superior Catfish. There's catfish and there's Superior Catfish. It's like Ann's book. There's guys that are golf legends, girls and guys, but they're only in one book. It's Life on the Green. So it's SuperiorCatfish.com and go to visit Mississippi.org. Plan your road trip. It's sitting there waiting on you. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar.
I keep doing it right. I saw the light. Sun came up in the middle of the night. Been doing it wrong for so long. I sure ought to know what it finally feels like to be doing it, doing it, doing it. Doing it, doing it right. I saw the light. Sun came up in the middle of the night. Been doing it wrong for so long. I sure ought to know what it finally feels like.
Up to $20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
here I am standing over this little old town called America. On precious stone, dangling off heaven's shoulder, wide-eyed.
We have a wee bitty little segment left of day one, part one, which is really part like five or six or seven with Ann, but this is over 7 years. So come on, part one today with Ann Liguori, incredible lady, a giver in life, sports icon among sports figures. She, the way she handles herself in interviews, it's just been first class. You don't have a body of work and a lifetime and a career as long as she has without being the one you want to be interviewed by, because you feel like you're sitting next to one of them. It's the best. You're one of them, Ann. But before we get to giving you all the kudos in the world, I want to give some kudos to Superior Catfish. Thank you guys for supporting my show. Go to superiorcatfish.com, produced here in Mississippi, and visit mississippi.org. It's a song. It's waiting on you. All right. And we have got to talk Ann Liguori. First of all, Ann Liguori, we've got to talk Nancy Lopez. Let me get that right. Nancy and I have become friends over time. And she's the first one that sends me an email every year, Gwen and I, that said, I can't be there. Always the first. And she goes, aww, I'm going to be there 1 year. She's so sweet. I love her so much. I love Joe, her man, you know, and they're just good folks. She, to me, I mean, when I think of women's golf growing up, I think of her. What was that like? How long have y'all known each other? And then how much of this interview is passed up? And then did you have to go and sit with everybody that's alive? Is everybody alive in the book?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure, you know, there could be some people that have passed away. And so did you go and sort of reaffirmation, sort of dot your I's and cross your T's with everybody?
All these interviews in Life on the Green, Lessons in Wisdom from Legends of Golf, and you can order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, anywhere that sells books, you can get it, Life on the Green. All these interviews are new for this book. All 12 interviews that I did.
Oh, so it's not passed up over your career?
No, they're all basically just for this book, Steve.
Well, yeah. See, I kept thinking you were taking a bunch of the times you were with them and then going and putting the icing on the top with them. No.
Well, I mean, obviously, like with Nancy Lopez, I did do a TV interview for my sports interview show when she was married to Ray Knight. You know, the baseball player. And he used to caddy for her, 86. Which is always an interesting dynamic, right? But she's now, you know, she remarried and she's very, very happy. And she's, you know, a grandma. And she runs Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures. She and her team put on these incredible clinics all over the world at incredible venues. And she's just such a gracious, lovely, lovely champion. What can I say? Her message in the book is stay positive, play happy golf. And this is important because, you know, as a golfer, it's so easy to get frustrated. It's so easy to get angry at yourself. You're only as good as your last shot. And every shot is a challenge, right? How many times has a person hit a good shot in a round? You can hit a flawless shot and that one shot keeps you coming back because it's very tough to put four or five good shots together, right? Nancy says you have to stay positive, and that carries over to life. It sounds like such a simple message, but you know, it's such a difficult thing to do. You know, if you're a businessman or woman and that deal kind of goes sideways, or your something in your personal life isn't going according to plan, or whatever it is, it's so easy to get down on yourself and to get frustrated and to give up. But staying positive, looking at the bright side, if you're down, think of all the good things in your life. It's such a great message for people. And, you know, so that carries over from golf. That's wisdom from Nancy Lopez. She was always so positive. She was always smiling. Her father really instilled in her a love for the game. They had a joy for the game. And it carries over with her to this very day. She's always smiling and always so fun to be around. And when she teaches, you know, Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures, she'll turn people around like that. She'll get women that come in with grumpy husbands to take her clinics, and the husbands swear that, you know, it's the most frustrating sport and nobody can have an effect on me. Nobody's going to change the way I look at this game. And she has great success stories of how she changes people's attitude. And once you change your attitude and are more positive, A, you're going to have more fun, and B, you're going to play better. You cannot play good golf if you're down on yourself and just not having a good time. You have to make it fun, keep it light, and stay positive in golf and in life, and you'll be a success
and
story.
That's the message from her. That you took that as the sort of caveat, the main thing.
Absolutely. I mean, they all have a lot of different messages in each chapter, but in each chapter, one major lesson, one major life wisdom mm-hmm. that they bring from golf.
I love it.
Through life really came out. I didn't have to coach them and kind of let them, you know, and tell them, come up with a different message. I didn't have to do that. They all, how crazy is this? They all came up with their own messages. It was just uncanny how beautifully that worked out.
I mean, this is 10, you got 10 more books to write. Yeah, you got, but we're talking about life on the green. I want to say something before we leave the show today, and we're going to come back for part two tomorrow with Ann Liguori. The book is called Life on the Green. Check it out. My friends at Superior Catfish, they're ready to feed you. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. It's catfish produced not in Taiwan or not somewhere else. It's produced in Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. Plan your next getaway with your loved ones. And if you don't have a loved one, you're going to find one on your getaway. You never know. I'm Steve Azar, and see you tomorrow.
Can't wait. Thanks so much, Steve.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.